Good morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
It's good to be here. I missed last year, and I praise God that I've been able to come this year. This has been an outstanding conference. Renewal. I told Jim this morning I feel refreshed, renewed, and it's just been a blessing, and I've met so many new people, and I thank each and every one of you for being a part of my journey. Andy gave us the scripture yesterday, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come, Jesus has come, that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So I want you to keep that scripture in mind as I tell this story. My son, firstborn, was, My firstborn son, he was born in 1995. He was Breech. And he was very rambunctious, very rebellious, and always wanting more, always looking for that next thing, always wanting to grow up rather quickly. He went, did everything early, started walking at nine months and has not stopped. He went to Catholic school. He was one of those kids that gave Sister Patricia and Sister Dorothy a fit. Sister Patty would discipline him, and Sister Dorothy would give him cookies after she disciplined him because she saw something in him. Oh, before, I want to go back. When he was born at 3 months old, when we were doing the baptism, my grandfather, who was a godly man, was sitting on my back porch and held him up and said, "This boy's going to do something great someday." Prophetic word spoke over his life, and with this scripture, the enemy has tried to stop that prophetic word over his life ever since. So he went through Catholic school. After eighth grade, going into ninth grade, and he was on his way to Trinity, he took his first drink and got drunk, sick at a WVU game. I found out about it 2 weeks later, and because of my background, I'm educated in addiction, and so I immediately called a counselor and said, "I want you to talk to my 15-year-old son at that point, maybe 14. And so I took him up there, and of course, it's normal teenage drinking. He's going to be fine. Brandon is very charismatic, very good at manipulation, I should say, in the past. He's still charismatic, but he was very good at manipulation, and he really pulled the wool over this counselor's eyes. We made it through high school with not very many bumps, and you know, he got in trouble. He was disobedient to the principal in that at Trinity, and we made it through okay. His senior year, I noticed that his friends started to change. He began to hang around, you know, the potheads. So I encouraged him to go away. He was going with a kid who, good Catholic family, and you know, kid didn't drink or do anything, and they were going together. So he ended up going to High Point University in North Carolina. He came back from his first WVU game with a bunch of kids, and I immediately knew something was very different. You know, I could tell he was on some kind of stimulant, so when they went to the game, I stayed back, and then I was looking through all their stuff and playing detective and didn't find anything. He went back, I told my husband. Now, what I want to tell you about my husband and I at this point, I was pretty certain that Brandon was on his way to a big problem. I knew. Now, my husband, this is normal drinking, normal partying. We all did it. So at this point, we are very unequally yoked. He thinks one thing, I think something else. As the year went on, my son lost a car at the airport. It was so high, he forgot where he parked it. We didn't find it for months. He got two marijuana charges. So at that point, we said, it's time to come home. He came, we got him home. I said, we got to get him some help. I called psychiatrist, addiction specialist from WVU, pleaded with him because I knew he could outsmart Brandon. He deferred him to somebody else with once again, Brandon pulled the wool over their eyes. Not only that, you find out rather quickly if you have a child above 18, you have no rights You have, they can't tell you anything. They actually told my husband, you're the problem in the office. So he began his second year at WVU. My husband and I at this point are fighting. I feel like I'm fighting them both, because at this point I am saying, you have a problem, you're an addict. You know, I am speaking, unfortunately, those words at him. He became worse and worse. He joined a fraternity and things just got way worse. And I knew he was in trouble. My other two boys and I were at church one morning with a group of people, and we decided to go to Panera after that. I ran into Brandon at Panera, and it was probably 11:30, 12, something like that. He was with two people. He was so messed up Sunday morning that he couldn't even talk to us. At that point, I'm like, and I'm praying this whole time. I've got people praying. I'm seeking God. I know God. I know God can deliver. He delivered me. I know all that. So I'm praying, praying, praying. But I'm like, I've got to do something. So I have some of these, I have documentation. So on May 21st, 2015, I decided to get in my closet, my prayer closet, on my knees, and just start pleading to God for his life. Because I knew that he was either going to die or other people were going to die. I knew, or he was going to end up in jail. At this point, I did convince my husband to not give him any more money. Father Patsy said something that resonated with me so well yesterday about responsibility. My husband never gave him the ability to respond, because he was, and my husband loves my boys so much, he was your classic and enabler. He's a fixer. He wanted to fix everything. Brandon wrecked a car in a snowstorm, and he went down there. I said, let him get the DUI. No, he knew the cop. So he was constantly covering up out of love, and out of, he thought he was doing the right thing. And each thing kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I kept saying, Brandon, God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to get your attention. And he really laughed at me. And one other thing I will tell you that will tie in the story later. During all this, I'm seeking the Lord, and I used to just have him come. One point we caught him, and he would come over, and I would do prayers with him and that type of thing, because we, you know, Stevie did back me on that, and I knew as soon as he came high and got higher the minute he left. So as I was praying one time, the Lord said to me, just write Jesus loves me. So when he would read it, it would be Jesus loves me. He's reading it, not you, but me. So I began to do that. I did that for probably a couple months. I would do it at 1 a.m. I would do it at 5 a.m. Anytime the Holy Spirit got me up, I would send that. Jesus loves me. That's all I would put. Never talked about it with him. Never, you know, nothing like that. So fast forward back to May 21st, 2015. I'm in my prayer closet. I'm on my knees. I'm like, just giving him back to the Lord. This is your son. So I began to pray, Lord, please stop him from using drugs, whatever you've got to do, but please don't kill him. Please don't let him kill anybody else. And I prayed that prayer. And then I felt the Holy Spirit, I just was praying for just the faith, and I put, I have faith. God is freeing Brandon through faith and belief in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I went on, and I'm going to put a sidebar here because it's going to tie into the story. I went on with my other kids, and I said, you know, God had given me a word in 2013 about my son, Stephen. And as Kevin Kane said yesterday, we have to use the platform that we're on to evangelize the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. And my two sons love basketball, and I would always tell them, you can glorify God on the basketball court. You can glorify God wherever you go. So I got a word that from God in 2013 that Stephen, my middle son, will glorify me on and off the basketball court. Now, I had no idea what that would look like. I had no idea what that would mean. So as I'm praying, I'm going through them, the Holy Spirit led me, and I said, through faith in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, supernatural power will lead the MHS boys basketball team to win a state championship for the first time, and all the honor and glory will go to Jesus Christ. And so I wrote that. That's May 21st, 2016. On Memorial Day, May 25th, that was 2015, is that what I said? Yeah. On May 25th, 2015, Memorial Day, my husband allowed Brandon to take our boat out. And it was a sunny day, much like today, it looks like, and hot weather. And I told my kids, I don't want you at the lake house. I don't want you anywhere near that boat. I just had a feeling. 11 people on the boat, and 7:30 that night, I talked to him, and I'm like, okay, he made it through. He sounded okay. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that nothing happened today. An hour later, the phone rings. The next thing I know, I see my husband flying down the driveway. I knew. I called him, and I said, What's wrong? And he said, Brandon wrecked the boat. My first question, is he alive? And he said, I think so. So I immediately, my kids were there, and I said, stay here. I immediately get in my car. I'm driving down the street, and my neighbors, they stopped me. They said, get in the car. So we get there. There's a boat waiting for us. So we come up on this scene. It was, and we have a big, fast speedboat. He had 11 other people on this boat. He was sitting there. He had an impalement in his arm, blood, bodies everywhere. A sight I will never, ever forget. Imagine 11 people all over, inside the boat. They didn't get outside the boat. I was speechless. You know, by this time, you know, the DOE was there, and they had to life flight three of the kids. There was unconscious, there was blood everywhere. So out of the 12, six were trauma, and six just were sent to the other hospital. Out of the 12, one girl walked away. The people in the front of the boat must have seen it, so they were able to hang on. They had the least amount of injury. She walked away. To this day, we've never heard anything from her. Nobody has. No lawyer. Nobody's ever heard anything from this young lady. So Brandon was one of the trauma. We go to the hospital. On my way, actually, down my driveway, I called who I call my spiritual mother, and I told her what happened, and she, the prayers, and the one thing that everyone's told me from this, the impact was so severe that people heard it all over. People immediately started to pray before they even knew who it was. What happened was Brandon passed out at the wheel, going at a high speed, and the wheel went, and he crashed right into, it's like hitting a brick wall. The boat was totaled. It was a mess. So we get to the hospital. I have to tell you, at this point, I felt God's presence. And strangely enough, no one died, but there was two in critical, very critical condition, one with a severe head injury, who Bob and Irene ended up ministering to. But I had a sense of peace, because my prayer was answered in that moment of that impact. And for that night, I thought, I can go. Even though I knew I wasn't going to sleep, I knew he wasn't going to die that night from drugs or alcohol. I knew he wasn't going to die, even though he had a serious impairment. So I had just a sense, I felt the presence of God. I had just a sense of peace. So he was the last one they had to do surgery on. The doctor told me that he would probably lose feeling he wouldn't be able to use his arm. His arm would never be ever the same. I mean, it was a mess. It was just like hanging. And Father John Paul from St. John's, somebody, you know, he was a priest, young priest that never slept. He came right down and anointed Brandon, prayed for him. But, you know, Brandon has no recollection of any of this because he was very highly intoxicated with drugs. So one of the girls in the room next to him, and she broke her pelvis. She's screaming, it's okay, I mean, in pain and screaming, and they're setting her, and I'm sitting there praying, Lord, please let her be able to have children. And I'm praying, you know, to myself, and I'm praying with all this. But the doctor came and said, gave me this horrible news about Brandon. So I said, can I be with him before he goes in? And he was the last surgery. This doctor on call just had six surgeries that night. And I was praying, and I just was proclaiming the word of God over his life and saying, just praising God that his arm was going to be okay and that he was going to, you know, he was going to have full function. That doctor came out and said, I'm amazed. It missed what they thought was going to, these nerves and tendons, and his arm was going to be intact. He ended up on a ventilator because they didn't know what he was on. So he's in ICU on a ventilator. That same night, or two nights later, he was still in the hospital. My other two kids had something at Morgantown High for sports. And I want you all to hear me what I'm about to say. I was not going to let shame overtake me. I was not going to be in secrecy. Now, this was splattered across the front page of the Dominion Post. Picture of the boat, everything. And I thought, and everybody's like, you can't go to that. Well, why not? These are my other two kids. Why should they suffer? I walked in that gym 2 days later, and we could go because he was in the hospital. And I walked in, and people were very, very gracious, very loving, and we got through that. Don't allow shame and embarrassment and fear to keep you captive when you have a loved one who is a prodigal or addicted to drugs or alcohol or something else. There's no shame in it. We have to get out here and fight this. So he comes home. Second night after he's home, we hear the car go down the driveway. He takes off. I'm like, oh my gosh. I told Stevie, go to the fraternity house. We start panicking. I get in my car and I hear the Holy Spirit say, calm down. He went to the lake. So I was getting ready to turn right and go to the lake. About that time, he comes up the driveway. And I said, Brandon, what are you doing? He said he went to McDonald's, but I knew. And later that next day, he said he had a dream and he thought somebody was drowning. So he was going to the lake. Well, at that point, he started to get, it was like, I can't even describe it. It was like he was losing his mind. He started like, you could see him roll joints and like he's talking on the phone, drug dealing, because we stopped giving him money. And I knew that when we stopped giving him money, he was going to find a way. So he's acting like he's drug dealing. He's acting out his life. And we're like, what's happening to our son? We had to hide the keys. One of us had to be up 24/7. He would go up to my youngest son and act like he was in a video game. And my kids were fearful. My kids had to lock their doors. So my dad, who's a pediatrician, came over. He said, I think he's in some kind of psychotic break. So they had only found, one nurse said, only marijuana and very little alcohol in his system. But that's the only thing they found in his system at the hospital. So we take him, I got to get him committed because I'm afraid he's going to injure somebody. I mean, I didn't know what he was going to do. We found him downstairs underneath here, you know, in paranoia at one point. I mean, it was like he was demonically possessed. So we take him to Chestnut Ridge Hospital. What I didn't know is my prayer warriors. I had a team of prayer warriors that just like Moses were holding my hands up. I had gotten Brandon prayer when he was home. I had just a circle of people. Many of you in the room here were among those people. And so I had a lot of people praying. What I didn't realize they were praying for, the ladies in my Bible study were praying, don't let him be committed, because they didn't at this hospital. And I that's what I wanted. We get there, he becomes very lucid. He's fine. And they're like, there's no problem. And the only thing they gave him was a blood pressure medication that was for post-traumatic stress for vets. So we gave him that, and it did help him sleep. But what I noticed during this whole thing, he was on narcotics. Now, narcotics were not his drug of choice, and I'll get to that here in a little bit. I noticed that he got better when I would give him the exact dose that I was supposed to give him. So that was kind of odd to me. And when he was home, I put Pat Robertson's this healing scriptures on, and he would get calm when those were on. And I had at one point during all this, I had people come and pray over him, and you could see as we were praying the demonic activity around this my son. He was not the same. At that point, Pat had a vision and called me and said, you and Stevie. Now, my husband's not a praying man. My husband does go to church, but now imagine, he is, I can't even describe, he's so sad and so upset and has so much guilt, and he's not even hardly functioning. So I'm just relying on first and foremost, God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, and my friends. So Pat tells me, you've got to grab your husband's hands. You've got to have a family, because he was on the edge of a cliff, like getting ready to fall into an abyss, and we just needed to pull him back. So I got Stevie, and I told him, I said, we need to pray. So we did that. He began to get better. And I just prayed, and Stevie, we grabbed hands, and we held his hand, and he slowly got a little bit better. I knew we couldn't send him to a rehab until they wouldn't take him the way he was. I had him prayed over, so my husband actually found a place in Scranton, PA, which was known as Little Creek. So we got him there. It's a 90-day program. We took him there, and it was the saddest, heart-wrenching thing we ever had to do with one of our kids. And we're like, how did we get here? So during the intake, and that's when they ask you all these questions, and it's Brandon, Stevie, and I find out things I didn't even know that had happened in high school that my husband just thought were normal. And I mean, they could immediately tell that Stevie and I weren't on the same page. And they said, if you two are going to make it through this, you two have to get on the same page. You've got to fight this together, because you're not going to fight it. He's too good at this. You're not going to fight it being on your own. So when we left there, we were both crying. And I mean, we couldn't even talk on the way home. And I just was praying in my spirit under my breath. And all of a sudden, I know Andy was talking a lot about the earth. I see this sun. I mean, it was the most gorgeous sun. And I heard just God say, I'm bigger than this. See this light? I'm bigger than this. You got to trust me here. You got to trust me. And so this sun followed us the whole way home. I don't think we ever spoke a word the whole way home. We didn't know, what do you say? What do you say? So they have these parent meetings. And so we went up every parent meeting, and as a parent, we had to learn, you know, how to fight this together. So we went to every parent meeting. The one thing that in this particular rehab, they had what they called, this guy called himself a rabbi. And he had quite a colorful history, and he was in recovery. And apparently he was Jewish. But as Brandon was there a little bit longer, I come to find out that He thought Jesus was a cartoon character. So, once again, I feel the enemy is trying to, and Brandon liked this guy. Now, Brandon, his faith was not good. He had stopped going to church, and so it wasn't good. So he liked this guy, and so I just started to pray for this guy, and fortunately, he's not there anymore. He ended up having some problems with his wife, but we got Brandon out of there. Now he didn't. It wasn't smooth when he left. I mean, he bucked the system. He was disobedient. You know, he was not used to. You know, he didn't want rules. He didn't like rules. So by the end of that, they sent him home 2 days early. So we're like, okay, there's no way. Thankfully, we had. You know, he was charged. He ended up with a second surgery. I didn't tell you that because when they handcuffed him, they pulled him behind. You know, they ripped open all of his incision, and he ended up getting MRSA. So he was back in the hospital. So God graciously healed him of that. So that happened. So here it's after 90 days. So we've got to find. You know, we got to find another place because. We did have the legal aspect over his head. We knew we had him legally. So we found this place in called Seaside in Florida, and it was near my mother-in-law. And so we take him down there. He didn't want. He thought he could live on his own at this point. He thought that he could. Somehow live in like a house with these other guys, he would have relapsed in a second. And I continued, you know, what I did, and I'll just give you a couple of these. You know, every scripture that people gave me during this time, I would write down and I would read, and a couple of them, I'll just show you what I did. It was Romans 6:6. Brandon's old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin loses its power in his life. He is no longer a slave to sin. I put, praise God. Brandon is in Christ. He is a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I did this continuously. Every scripture. This is what got me through. This is what got me through. So we get him at Seaside. We begin to see the old Brandon coming back. Funny, loving. This place ended up being really good for him. Now, while he's in rehab, back in Morgantown, our story is splattered all across the Dominion Post for one solid year. Over and over and over. The people who own the Dominion Post is my husband's sister. He was not only heartbroken about Brandon and everything that happened, this was his closest sister. Now, what I will tell you about this sister, she and I have always had a little bit of a rocky, and I thought, you know what, she was always very combative, and I always heard God say, Stephanie, just don't fight back. Don't fight back. Her true colors will show someday. And I just heard that, so I never did. So when this started to happen, unfortunately and sadly, their relationship began to disintegrate because it was in the paper on a chronically. And Brandon, he was gone. He didn't even know. It was all of us. It was my mom, my dad, my two other boys, and it was continual. So their relationship is disintegrating, and I'm thinking this is kind of good for me. But then I hear the Lord say, "Oh no, 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 no! You will love her. You will love her. You will forgive her." So that started, you know, happening in, you know, going inside my spirit. So because I knew that if I jumped on this Stevie's bandwagon, so to speak. Their relationship would be no more today. So I knew I had a choice to make. I could choose life or death, blessing or cursing of this relationship. And I chose life and blessing. So I'm going to go back to the basketball here for a minute. Morgantown High, my son's a senior, My other son is a junior. Praise be to God, they both started. They've always played together. This basketball is going on as all this is going on. They kept winning. They were winning. Every time I would walk into the game, I tell people, it was like I could take the backpack of Brandon off. I could leave it at the door, go in for the game, sit, cheer, yay, you know, cheer for my other kids, because this was such, it was such an exuberant time for my boys. When the game was over, pick up the backpack and put it back on. And I said, only a God could take something so tragic, the worst day of the life of a mother when your son crashes a boat with 11 other people on, but yet such joy to see what's happening with your other two boys. Now, while Brandon's in the paper, my other two boys are constantly on the sports page, so I got one on the front page and two on the sports page. So I go to Kroger, no matter where I went, people would say to me, you know, because they knew Stevie's sister, and actually it was her husband, so I don't know how much control she really has or had, but people would want to engage, you know, they want to engage you to, you know, be combative, and I would say, you know, this is the way I look at it. How many people can say all three of their kids are in the paper the same day? It happened, it happened so many times. And I just had to praise God about it. I just, you know, but of course, the paper was different for me because it wasn't my closest sibling. So it was different. So as we got closer to the end of the season, I really didn't keep a journal, but somebody had told me to write about this, some of this stuff. And I just want to, I think it might, if I can find it. Okay, I just want to write a little bit to give you, because I'm afraid if I just try to tell you, I will cry about this, because this was unfortunately the worst part of this entire ordeal. Okay, so I told you that what I had given, it was May 4th, yeah, it was in about Stephen. It was actually May 14th, 2013. So it says, okay, I told you what I had. With Stephen, it said, eventually Brandon's accident naturally forced me. Okay, we don't need to hear all that. Okay, so it was the MHS game, our biggest and most volatile rival, and we had already beaten them once at home. I'm going to try to get through this, Pat. As I was watching the game, I noticed students on the UHS side wearing something peculiar. And then I painfully realized they were wearing life jackets to taunt and humiliate Stephen and Nikki. They were screaming, Brandon's boat, Brandon's boat. So you had my two boys playing, trying to warm up, and I'm sitting there thinking, this can't be. I'm thinking, what? I mean, I'm sitting there, I am shaking. I am, my heart's beating. I'm shaking. At this point, other people realized, and I could see some of the parents going out to find the administrators, and I'm thinking, I can't go over, I can't do anything in the middle of the game. So every time they were shooting during their foul shots, they were screaming, Brandon's boat, they were screaming, and they were right in the student section. And I write, my emotions were all over the place. I was sick to my stomach, furious, anxious, and so sad for my boys. I felt new God's presence was with me. I prayed. It was the longest game I ever sat through. I knew I couldn't do anything until it was over because I didn't want to further hurt my boys or bring attention to the spectators who weren't aware of anything of what was going on. Thankfully, my boys both played exceptionally well and maintained their integrity throughout the whole game. I knew God supernaturally gave them courage and strength to play and not be affected by the ugly display of the students. In fact, reflecting on this now, I envision a sixth player on the court that night, and his name is Jesus. He was in the fire with Daniel's three friends, and he was on the court too. Immediately when the game was over,
Our team went to the locker room. I walked as fast as I could across the court to the athletic director to speak with him. And as I did that, I just, Holy Spirit be with me, Holy Spirit be with me. And he was genuinely shocked. Other parents were more outraged. My mom was outraged. But I decided I was going to live the abundant life. In the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of this dark pain, I was living the abundant life because I had Jesus. And I spoke kindly. They apologized. They talked to my boys afterwards. And I said, we have to reflect Jesus. Everybody's watching. This gym was packed, standing room only. After that game, I was, Pat can tell you, it was disturbing to me. This was the hardest part of the whole ordeal because my two boys were so affected and my middle child is so tender-hearted. The next game, the newspaper tried to get my youngest son. At that point, he was 17, so they couldn't do anything. They wanted to know. They found my son, my other son, and wanted to know about this UHS game and about the life jackets. So, thankfully, he spoke words of Jesus. He said, I forgive them. It's okay. They printed it. Praise God, they printed it in the paper. I've forgiven them. So I called the paper at this point. I'm like, look, if you want an interview, I'll talk to you. You ask me anything. Just please leave my boys alone. Please. I know you can't do anything with my 17-year-old because it's against the law. I will talk to you. So I did talk to him, and they did print it. And it wasn't as much as I wanted more about Jesus. But at that moment, I realized that prophetic word that God gave me, Stephen will glorify me on and off the court, and that is what he did during this entire ordeal. People would come up to me and say, I can't, how are your boys getting through this? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So we went on to win our first state championship basketball game at Morgantown High that year. And God is so gracious, it went into overtime. Both of my boys got all first team and second team. And so I had this joy and this excitement going on this part of my life. And then over here, I had Brandon. So jumping back to Brandon, that was just a great, and that was on the front page of the paper too, so that was great. So we had a little bit of a love-hate relationship with the paper at that point. So going back to Brandon, now we've got... He was facing 11 counts of BUI, each carrying a year. The first arraignment, they wouldn't drop the charges, so we're facing 11. Of course, we plea dealed him down to three counts, so that's 3 years. They were misdemeanors. Another one of God's grace. 2 weeks after the boat crash, they changed the law. They would have been 11 felonies. Let me go back to, I didn't tell you, I want to make sure I tell you this. I found out that when he was at Little Creek, and the one time we went up to a parent meeting, he admitted in the parent meeting that he was taking a lot of Xanax. Okay? He had taken a lot of Xanax that day. By the grace and mercy of God, it did not show up in the hospital, because if it had, they would have put him on Klonopin, which is another addictive drug, because they would have known that all this rolling and talking and hiding and sneaking out, he was hallucinating. He was in severe hallucinations, and what we came to find out that some people can die from a withdrawal from the benzoids. And we didn't know because the hospital. Now, it came back, you see, when somebody dies, toxicology takes all this time. It came back with toxicology, very high doses of Xanax. I told you before that I noticed when I gave him those narcotics that he would get a little bit better. That alone allowed him not to have a seizure and possibly die. Another grace of God. God's hand was all over this. He kept saying to me, Stephanie, do not fear. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. I would say, I've got these scripture cards. I would say them over and over. God's word does not come back void. I fought this with the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. That's how I'm still fighting it. So back to the lawsuits. So, you know, we know that he's Xanax. We've got 10 lawsuits against us. Well, let me go back to the arraignment. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Okay, so he's going to get arraigned. We're down. We got it down to 3 counts. So he has to come in. We have a court hearing. We get, of course, my husband, the one that doesn't allow the responsibility, tried to manipulate, get the right judge. He wanted, praise God that God's in control. My husband, I keep telling him, you're not in control. God's in control. We ended up getting what was known as the toughest judge, Judge Sandy Holpitt, that she's really tough and puts people in jail. So, of course, I have all my warriors praying. I've got them all praying. And we go to court, and I don't have time to read all that. Okay, so we go to court, and I end up giving Brandon this little rock with a scripture from about King David and, you know, slaying Goliath, and it was the scripture of that, because he was very nervous. He was having panic attacks, and he hadn't slept, and, you know, he was nervous. So he and I go down there together. We pray. He allows me at this point. He's accepting prayer, but he believes in God, because the gods of the AAs and the NAs, you know, they can be the God of your choice in those meetings. But he's not sure about Jesus. He's not sure about Jesus. Interesting enough, he tells me, I don't remember any classes I took my last semester. I don't remember anything about that last semester. The only thing I remember is you sending me those texts that say Jesus loves me. I said, Brandon, isn't it interesting? Something you're not sure you even believe in, that's the only thing you remember about the last year that last year you were in school? It was like a light bulb went off in him. So that happened. So he did accept prayer. A friend of mine who Bob knows, Dick Barnhart, I took him over there. He prayed over him. And I prayed on the way down. As soon as we get there, we see a girl who was in. So we knew the kids were going to be there. The tension in that courtroom was just, you can imagine. They're mad. There's, you know, by this time we've got 10 lawsuits against us. Rightly so. So we go in there, and Brandon does talk. He apologizes, because I said, they're going to give you an opportunity. You have to apologize. You have to humble yourself, and you got to trust God here. So he did. He did talk. So then the prosecuting attorney Steve Fitz, you know, was was talking to Doug Leach, who was, we used Doug to help us with the case. He's fights addiction in Morgantown, and he was talking to Doug. Interesting enough, Doug was facing 10 years ago, and this was the same district attorney. You know, we were talking about how everything intertwines. So he's you know, Doug's talking about how great Brandon's doing in recovery. Everything's going great. And, you know, Fitz is letting him list all these things, and then he looks at him and he says, you know, what about these kids right here? Their lives are over. Their lives are ruined. Some of them are never going to be the same. Yeah, it's great that Brandon's doing all this. What about them? What about them? Doug didn't have anything to say. So about that time, Judge Holpitt says, does anybody else want to speak? I could feel my spirit quickening. I could feel the Holy Spirit and I'm sitting there, I'm on the edge of my seat. I just jump up. I just jump up. I'm like, I got to do something. So I look, and the first thing I do is I heartfelt turned and looked at those kids, looked at their parents, apologized, told them that people were praying for them, told them that God spared their life. I thought, I'm going to glorify God in here. I've got an audience of people with the papers there. I'm thinking, let them print some of this. You know, so I'm talking to the kids. And then I said, and I want to address what this attorney Fitz, or Attorney General Fitz, asked Mr. Leach. And I said, you asked the question, what can they do now? Their lives are pretty much over. I said, the first thing they can do is praise God that they're alive, that he spared their lives. I said, then they can trust God as their Savior, put their and change their lives and use this as a tool to teach and educate other people. God can redeem their life. God's a healer. And so, you know, I said all that, and I'm paraphrasing. Of course, when I left there, I'm trying to write some of this. I barely remember what I said. The other thing I did is then I looked at Judge Holpitt, and I pleaded with her. I said, please don't put him in jail, because the jail that we have, a lot of you come out more addicted because there's a lot of drugs in the jail. So I pleaded with her. She listens. So then she spoke. She gave the kids that were there as much of a hard time as she gave Brandon. She said, you know, I doubt any of you were going to a prayer meeting. And she said, in fact, you all, you know, you kids brought, it was, he ended up getting 9 months house arrest in Florida. She was spectacular, fair, a godly woman sitting on the bench. She spoke of God. It was another grace and answered prayer of God. Prayer is the answer. And it's not just my prayers. It's a community of prayers. So he does house arrest for 9 months in Florida. She actually let him go to a conference, a national AA conference with some guys, and he's in an apartment by now. He spent 9 months in the Seaside. He's in an apartment now. Met a guy actually from Charleston, West Virginia, that he's in rehab. That was not in his rehab, but at AA. So they live together. So he does that. So I'm going to quickly go because it's almost time. I want to tell you about the lawsuits. So he finishes his house arrest. Everything was smooth. He's off house arrest now. So just recently, the lawsuits are coming up. We had 10 lawsuits against us and significant lawsuits. Thankfully, we had an extra umbrella on the policy. They would not settle. Nobody would settle. So I began just to pray. I began to storm the heavens again with my sisters in Christ, my brothers in Christ. Start praying. My dear mother, my dear friend and my spiritual mother, Linda, said, Stephanie, you need to be in these mediations, because they're trying to do mediations to avoid court. My husband's like, you don't need to go. You know, he was afraid that I was going to probably side with them and let him get, you know, I don't know what he was afraid of, but he didn't want me there, and neither did the lawyer. Now, my husband was named in the suit, too. He was named, they both were named, he was named, said that they, that my husband, you know, had alcohol at the house. So, which wasn't true, but he, you know, there were some that were 21 and brought the alcohol. So he was named. So my friend told me, you need to go. So I said, I'm going to the mediations. So I go to the mediations and I sit in the corner and just start praying in the spirit. Next day they're like, come up to the table. Come on. So they began to respect me and I think feel sorry for me, actually, because Stevie was tough, and you know, it was almost like he was like, you know, and he didn't even have Brandon there. You know, Brandon's in Florida, once again missing all this. Talk about responsibility, not the ability to respond. So I looked at the mediator one day and I said, my son should have been here, shouldn't he? And he said, yeah, probably. So I pray. We ended up settling everyone. Those lawyers worked harder because of the prayers, because of I sat in there and prayed in the spirit. I didn't even know what to pray because that's not my part in all this was prayer. My part in all this was fighting with this. Stevie did the other stuff. And we did come together. We became more equally yoked than we have been in fighting this, but he's still a little bit of an enabler. We still have some issues we're working out, but we did end up settling, and the kids
are doing physically fine. I don't really know, you know, about their emotional needs. The girl that they minister to, I will tell you, go back and tell you this, the day in court, after I spoke, by this time tears are coming down, because not because of what I was saying, but because the Holy Spirit spoke through me, and they heard Jesus. It was nothing that I said. It was what they were hearing. They started to cry. So we're in one room after they came, the girl you all ministered to, came in, broke down, hugged Brandon, and just said, I forgive you. Another grace of God. He's faithful. He's faithful at all times. So I was living the abundant life during this entire tragic ordeal because I have Jesus. Today, Brandon's heart is more pliable. He has not gone face down, knees down, and said, I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. He'll go to church when he comes in. But he's still, you know, I don't think he thinks my life looks too boring. He is sober. He's had over 2 years. And I praise God every day. And what I say today, it is for freedom that Christ set Brandon free. He stands firm. He will not allow himself to be entangled by a yoke of slavery again. I continue to proclaim freedom. The truth of Jesus Christ has set Brandon free. Because Romans tells us to call things out as they are, even though they're not. And that's what I continue to do. I continue to praise God. I continue. So it's still ongoing, but he's still in Florida. The paper has settled down. Everything's settled down. And I praise God. So that scripture that we began with, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And we have. And this is, and all of you fighting. So I praise God today and always, and I thank you for many of you who are part of the story and prayed and prayed and prayed. But he's going to be free. He's going to be free, and I want freedom for all. We all have been affected by addiction. I don't want just freedom for myself and my son. I want all of your loved ones to have freedom. So don't let the shame and the embarrassment. I went out. I talk about it. I tell anybody that asks me, you know. And Brandon has talked. He comes. He talked at Chestnut Mountain Ranch. He'll talk about it. And the scripture, the prophecy, the prophetic word that God has given me, he will serve me on many stages. I don't know what that's going to look like. But I sure know that God's going to do it because he's been faithful so far. But we need to continue praying the word of God over our situations. I thank you. I'm humbled. I got through it without too many tears. So I praise God. Thank you all.